What's that sound? Well, that's the sound of truckers. Men. Real men. And women. Real women. They're telling a punk they've had enough of his bullshit. The truckers, of course, are in Ottawa, Canada, and the punk, Justin Trudeau, well, who knows where he is? When the trucks first rolled into town, he got out of town fast. The media said he was whisked away to an undisclosed location for his personal safety. A few hours after he went into hiding, the ministers of propaganda, well, they changed that story. It didn't look very leader-like. The new narrative was that Justy had been exposed to COVID and he was self-quarantining. Right. If you think about it, when punks get power, the world goes to shit. Academic power, union power, corporate power, political power. The enemy of the people is the people who run these institutions. It never ends well. How do you fight back? How do you flip them on their punk asses? Well, hang on. We may have some ideas for you.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Come on, Larry. Larry.
Larry. Imagine the scene inside Trudeau's hideout. He's got himself cowering under the bed. Calls his mother for reassurance.
Hello. Hello, mommy. I'm afraid of those truck-driving men. They have dirt under their fingernails. They don't wear neckties. They drive these big smelly machines and their damn horns are ruining everything. Yesterday, I could hardly hear the music during my Zumba class.
Oh, do not be frightened, mon chéri. Remember, your father was a very brave man. When Pierre felt afraid, he would simply...
Mommy, you whore. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
What the fuck were people thinking when they elected that manlet? Look at him. Everything about him says punk. Weak, coddled, entitled, gutless. Who would respect such a creep? And now there's a terrible shit show brewing simply because Justy is a punk. Most of the world has realized that unforgivable lies were told by politicians and big pharma and mendacious medical experts about lockdowns, masks, and so-called vaccines. As we've learned, cloth masks had little or no effect on stopping the spread of the virus. All the lockdowns did was destroy businesses and lives and increase drug abuse and suicides. The vaccines turned out to not be actual vaccines, but glorified flu shots that prevent neither infection nor transmission. At best, they may reduce the severity of symptoms. That's it. And so nation after nation and several Canadian provinces have relaxed or removed the restrictions. They even have a face-saving position so they can crawl away with a soupçon of dignity, even though we all know it's bullshit.
We can now return to normalcy. Our draconian measures worked.
Nah, they really didn't, but they can say that if they want to. Little Fidel, Justy, being a punk, he cannot do what a man would and should do, which would be to meet with those truckers, admit he's wrong, and back off. Doubtless his handlers will also not let him do that because, no matter what, the state can never be wrong. It must be infallible and omnipotent. Because if you let the people win one, well, they'll try to win again. Independence must be crushed early and often. Justy has zero courage. Was too frightened to meet with those guys. So first he smeared them, called them terrorists, Nazis, racists. A complete lie. Those truckers look like a poster for diversity. Black, white, Asian, Latin. Plenty of them wearing turbans. There has been zero violence from them. None. When the smearing didn't work, he did what punks do. He whistled up his muscle. The chief of police, who threatened all kinds of nasty consequences. But maybe he didn't start cracking heads, which is probably what Justy really wants. Punks always advocate violence as long as somebody else delivers it. So yesterday, the chief of police resigned. And he said something that gives a powerful clue as to his true reason.
The longer this goes on, the more I'm convinced there may not be a police solution to this demonstration.
No shit. There may not be a police solution because revolutions, which the Canadian situation seems to be, they can never be put down by cops. They're simply overwhelmed. Using force always escalates. How far is Justy willing to go to prove he's not a punk? Machine gunning truckers? Talk about bad optics. So the chief resigns and Justy brings out the next enforcer. This one doesn't use clubs or bullets. It uses weaponry that's far more dangerous. Emergency powers implemented by keyboard and mice and complicit corporate scumbags. Uses those weapons to destroy those truckers or anybody. Just listen to this imperious, cretinous grimbo.
The government is issuing an order with immediate effect under the Emergencies Act, authorizing Canadian financial institutions to temporarily cease providing financial services where the institution suspects that an account is being used to further the illegal blockades and occupations. This order covers both personal and corporate accounts. Third, we are directing Canadian financial institutions to review their relationships with anyone involved in the illegal blockades and report to the RCMP or CSIS. As of today, a bank or other financial service provider will be able to immediately freeze or suspend an account without a court order.
Which brings me to the other part of this show. My little skirmish with T-Mobile, which is actually a microcosm of what's destroying freedom around the world. The big digital valve that can shut you off from almost everything. Does this sound familiar to you? That's the sound primitive modems made back in the early 90s as we were logging on to the vaunted and glacial information highway, also known as the World Wide Web. Back then, pre-broadband, it was the World Wide Wait. At the dawn of the internet, we had arrived at the information age, when all the collected knowledge of the world would be available, free of charge at the end of a keystroke. Here we are, more than three decades into this age, and is anybody asking, what have we gotten out of all of this? Do we know any more than we did pre-Google? Are we any smarter? Are we better off? Well, here's the T-Mobile imbroglio condensed. Since 2008, all the family cell phones were on Sprint. It was expensive. I'll say monthly bill for three and then four lines was anywhere from $150 to $250 a month, depending on the usual factors, overages, leased equipment, and so on. So let's say it was $200 a month on average. That's $2,400 a year times 13 years. Holy shit. $31,000 from my pocket to Sprint's. And the service sucked. Dropped calls, spotty coverage, and the worst of it by far was having to call them for any reason because customer service was never about the customer. It was about upselling you and wasting as much time as possible. My time. Then one of my daughters had to have an iPhone, way overpriced as Apple products tend to be. Finally, the lease is up, we send back the phone, and next month, there's a mysterious $78 charge on the bill for equipment return. That was a couple years ago. Each month since then, when the bill came due, I'd pay it, but I'd hold back that $78. I just did not have the time to spend hours on the phone trying to rectify the problem. At some point, I also discovered the wonderful alternatives to Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, which are all ripoffs. I decided to go with an MVNO, which means Mobile Virtual Network Operator. If you're unfamiliar with them, they are smaller companies who buy bulk bandwidth on the big boys' infrastructure at wholesale prices, mark it up a little, and sell it back to you. The best ones are the smaller ones you never heard of, not the subdivisions of the big carriers. With smaller MVNOs, what you mostly pay for is the actual voice and data, not fucking Super Bowl commercials with celebutard endorsements, not CEO salaries in the tens of millions, and their club memberships and corporate jets, and so on. So over time, I migrated my phone and my kids from Sprint to a little MVNO called Red Pocket. And let me tell you, Red Pocket has been great. What's the cost differential? I'll get to that. The last remaining phone on the Sprint account was my wife's. The monthly bill for her single phone was about $100. And by the way, she owned the phone. There was no lease charge baked into that amount. I really hated paying for that service because the other three phones combined on the MVNO cost only $60 a month. And the MVNO service is better, much better. So just a week ago, suddenly, my wife's phone could not send or receive texts. She calls the T-Mobile Customer Torture Center, and they tell her it's because of non-payment. What the fuck? I just paid the bill. So now I'm pissed. I call them. I get the usual happy talk scripts.
Thank you for being part of the Sprint T-Mobile family.
Yada yada. They tell me the $78 unpaid was for damaged equipment. Huh? That iPhone was returned undamaged. This was over 2 years ago. They tell me their records show the phone had a cracked screen. I tell them it wasn't cracked when I shipped it to them. Then they ask if I have proof of that. I ask if they have proof it was cracked. Silence. It's fucking incredible. I'm paying these assholes money, have been paying their exorbitant ripoff rates for 13 years, and they're not just challenging me, they're impugning my integrity. Holy shit. It's on. That's when I hang up the phone and look up T-Mobile CEO, some guy named Mike Sievert. You gotta see this guy in his webpage. He's a happy CEO. He's so happy, he's wearing a smiley face on his fucking shirt. And he's over 50 years old. But then, anybody might be smiling who's knocking down 10 million plus a year. Just listen to some of the bullshit on Mikey's page.
Mike leads a customer-crazed team of disruptors and innovators, working tirelessly to change the rules of wireless, resulting in T-Mobile becoming the fastest-growing company in the industry.
Couldn't have anything to do with that merger. Goes on to say that
every day, Mike's priority is on cultivating T-Mobile's culture and building a company that's world-famous for putting customers first, treating them right, and changing the rules in their favor. All with one simple goal, creating the most loved brand in the history of the telecom industry.
Is that so? Because in my recent experience, when there's a disputed charge, smiley face Mikey's priority is to restrict the functionality of the customer's phone. Punish them until they get back in line. There's no love there. When calling T-Mobile customer torture, if you ask to speak to their supervisor, they never know who it is. Can you imagine? Hi, boss. What's your name again? Their job is not to help you, but to waste your time, because they're being paid probably pennies per hour in some third world country. They're being paid to waste your time. They don't resolve shit. They pass you around like a baton in a slow motion relay race. Each new specialist reads from the same script from the beginning, nicey nice horseshit.
Hi, thank you for choosing T-Mobile. How are you enjoying your day?
Then they want the number, the PIN number, and
how may we address your concerns?
It's never a problem. That's a forbidden word in customer torture land. It's always concerns. I did an entire episode about this. It was called The Time Bandits, about the millions of people around the world in governments and corporations whose job is, in fact, to waste your time. You might dig it. It's in the March 2017 tab at thatlarryshow.com. After several never-ending calls, being placed on hold by people who did not know their boss's names and could not transfer me to them, I got off the phone, and I got on Twitter, and reached out to Happy Mikey Sievert. I said, "Hey Mike, you overcharge me, and now while the bill is in dispute, you restrict the phone service? My many thousands of podcast listeners are going to enjoy this story, but you won't." Well, within 30 seconds, bam, there was a response from some perky chick.
"Hi, it's Marissa. We want to ensure your bill is accurate and you're able to use your services easily. Let's work together to find a solution. We'll meet you back in DM."
There's even a picture of her giving a happy thumbs up. And beneath that it said, me in three words.
"Alluring, exquisite, passionate."
I read that and thought, at this moment, I can describe me in four words. Ready to fucking kill. So perky Marissa wants to get me and my vituperative complaints off the public forum into the very untransparent secret direct message zone. There we can work together to find a solution. Do people buy into this shit? I don't work with Marissa. That's like the busboy at a restaurant asking you into the kitchen after dinner to wash the dishes. But the bastards had my wife's text function disabled. Next, they'd probably shut off her service completely. At this point, I just wanted that unlocked long enough for me to get her another phone and shit can Sprint forever. When they send you a direct message, this is actually how they self-identify. It says T-Force equals customer service gurus, billing trailblazers, tech scholars, uncarrier fanatics, wireless experts. You can't make this shit up. And it says their Twitter account has 414,000 followers. Can you imagine? Are there people who log into Twitch shit in the morning just to see what's up with their good friends at T-Mobile? So there were multiple exchanges with various service gurus on Twitter direct messages. They wanted $78. I said, "I'm not paying that, so cancel the account." They asked if I had a receipt from UPS for the shipment some years ago, that I should file a claim with UPS. Again, like I'm working for T-Mobile? I told them to file a claim with UPS. But they kept coming at me. Finally, I got a message from service guru Tori. Over the course of a couple of days, I, being the human baton cash cow, was handed off to multiple service gurus, some of which actually tried to upsell me phones. Those names included Marissa, then Reggie, then Tijorn, Carlos, Kerwin. And they actually play good cop, bad cop. Like this message from Kerwin.
We're ready to get things moving in a good direction for you, and it's really important that we have you taken care of and you feel confident we got your concerns addressed.
Ooh, dig those positive, happy vibes. Maybe Kerwin's wearing a smiley shirt like Big Boss Mikey. Gonna get things moving in a good direction. It's important that they take care of me and address my concerns. Ah, the C word again. Then Tori returned, and this time she was in bad cop mode. She said,
"We made this charge visible via your bill. I followed up on the notes on your account, and I'm not seeing where you reached out to us to query this charge until February 8th, 2022.
Wow. So now it's my fault for not doing T-Mobile's accounting for them, and in a timely manner. Then Tori made me an offer.
We're willing to issue an adjustment of $39 towards the damage fee only if you're willing to pay the balance of $39. Do you accept this offer?
Such a deal. I told Tori I was not negotiating with a $150 billion company over 78 bucks that I do not owe. She can remove the full charge or cancel the account. Well, it got kind of quiet for a while. The following day, I got a last direct message from another service guru named Ornella. She told me she understood how precious my time is and that she wanted to get to the bottom of this. And can we please schedule a call to work together? They still want me to work for them. She closed by advising me again that I had the option to file a claim with UPS regarding a damaged device. Wow. Thanks, Ornella. What was it that Smiley Mikey Sievert's webpage says again? Putting customers first, treating them right, and changing the rules in their favor. Too fucking much. So, Sprint is canceled. My wife's phone is now with that MVNO. Her bill went from nearly $100 a month to 20. With far better service. When you call Red Pocket, they don't ask you how your day's going. They just want to get you set up and gone. Same experience in the chat boxes. No upsells, no insults, no bullshit. Now the calls are coming daily from Sprint T-Mobile. Guess they still want that 78 bucks. They can fucking whistle for it. In fact, what I just might do is send Smiley Mikey an invoice for what Sprint owes me. Years of dropped calls and shit service. Hours and hours and hours wasted with customer torture gurus. My time is valuable too, and if they're going to waste it, I should be compensated. Which brings me to the macro view of the human condition in 2022. Something has happened to people. They put up with shit. It was the reason I began this show over 5 years ago, because most people take way, way, way too much shit. Sometimes there's little recourse. People in the military, they have to take shit and vaccines, whether they want to or not. People locked in jobs feel trapped and must take shit and vaccines until they can escape. But above and beyond that, millions of people are taking shit from punks at institutions who ostensibly work for us. Punks like Joey, who multiple times has issued commands to you and me, and then he tells us his patience is wearing thin. Punks like Justy Trudeau, who seems not to realize that those truckers he demonizes pay his fucking salary. He serves at their pleasure, not the other way around. Beyond politics, it's the same in academics. Educators and administrators from grammar schools to Ivy Leagues who operate with impunity and dictate to those whose asses they should be kissing. Airlines that treat customers like punching bags, as United did a few years ago, when an elderly doctor refused to give up a seat, which they demanded because of their fuck-up. They overbooked the flight, which is pure greed, condoned by the government that's supposed to regulate them. So United's flight crew called their muscle, the Chicago Police, who beat the shit out of a 69-year-old man, broke his nose, knocked out his teeth, gave him a concussion, whereupon they dragged him by his feet unconscious from that plane. United's boss, the imperious Oscar Munoz, his initial statement was staggering in its arrogance. He backed the flight crew's play and the uniformed thugs. In fact, Oscar, a punk of an executive, fired off an email to United staff commending the crew's actions for, quote, following established procedures and referring to the beaten doctor as disruptive and belligerent. Witnesses and video from the incident did not corroborate Oscar's claim. Once that video went viral and created a shitstorm, Oscar furiously backpedaled. Well, too fucking late. At least it should have been. Incredibly, he's still chairman of that airline. Why is that? Because the media and the general public kept hammering United Airlines, the corporate entity. That doesn't do shit. Want to take somebody down? Marry his or her name to the debacle. If every tweet and Facebook post and news story had framed it as Oscar Munoz's United Airlines, Oscar would have been retired long ago. Institutions are not people. A government agency, a corporation, a university does not care how often or harshly it's denigrated. But an executive, well, there's only so much bad press and ill will they can endure. Once the board and the stockholders see their investments dwindling because of some chooch in the corner office, watch how fast they shit-can him. Or her. Just a couple days ago, a guy was kicked off an Allegiant flight by a stewardess who didn't like his face mask. What was wrong with it? It said, "Let's go, Brandon." This waitress in the clouds claimed it was in violation of FAA regulations and ordered him off the aircraft. And the passenger meekly complied. And who can blame him? He's probably seen the video of Dr. Dow's beating. She also commanded him to stop recording the incident with his cell phone. Well, there is no such FAA regulation, and he was absolutely within his rights to record her. Will she be fired, as she should be? Fuck no. Because the exact same thing happened on two other airlines, and there were zero consequences for the asshole employees. Only the paying customers. But cell phone wars and airline battles are really small potatoes compared with the atrocities occurring in the true realm of life and death, hospitals and healthcare. It was only after 9/11 that flight crews decided they were all-powerful and government started backing them up. And now they're ejecting passengers if they disagree with their politics. And the pandemic empowered hospitals with supreme authority and invincibility. How many thousands of people died in the past couple of years because hospitals refused to give them therapeutics that could have saved their lives? How many hundreds of thousands of relatives, maybe millions, had to let their loved ones die alone? Or maybe say goodbye on a goddamn iPad because, well, hospitals say so. Patient rights? What are those? Why couldn't relatives have been given PPE and allowed access to their dying parents, children, brothers, and sisters? Where the fuck is the rage? Where are the lawsuits? Where is the criminal prosecution? Here's your answer. What has happened to people is explained in a quotation, sometimes attributed to a punk named Benito Mussolini. Of course, the source is disputed, and I don't give a shit. The statement is the truth, whether Mussolini said it or not. It's this. Fascism should more properly be called corporatism, since it is the merger of the state and corporate power. Unquote. That's how we got here, folks. That's how. The pusillanimous tyrant in Canada cannot get at the Freedom Convoy. But banks, well, they're glad to carry out his orders and steal from those truckers and shut off their money. Anything illegal about that? Yeah. Maybe 10, 20 years ago, not now. They're all in bed together. Airlines having people beaten up, kicked off flights for no reason. That's new too. Hospitals and the massive corporations that own them, they now decide who gets what treatment, who lives, who dies, and if they have to die alone. What's the good news? Well, people can only be pushed so far, as Mussolini discovered. And if a day of judgment arrives, tyrants will not be punished via digital means. They might get a choice of the three G's. Gas chamber, gallows, or guillotines. Live streamed, one would hope. And maybe, depending on just how enraged the public becomes, some tyrants might get the MT, that's the Mussolini treatment. Shot, kicked through the streets like soccer balls, and then hung by their feet in the town square for several days. Because leaders, well, they should lead by example, shouldn't they? Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. And while you're at the show page, don't forget to click a subscribe button so you never miss an episode. If you want to help me keep the lights on while I fight commie punks, click the PayPal or Patreon buttons. Or if you prefer not to donate through those channels, there's a post office box as well. Follow the show on social media. You'll find links to the ones where we hang out between episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and my favorite, No Agenda Social. If you want to declare yourself as a freedom-loving Lutva, then get a Lutva magnetic sticker. If you're new to the show, Lutva stands for Leave Us the Fuck Alone. They're weatherproof, they look great on your vehicle, fridge, whatever. Only 10 bucks or 3 for 25. You can see them at thatlarryshow.com. Just scroll down the page a little and then click the PayPal button and be sure to mention Lutva with your order. Or again, you can just send it to me through that post office box. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, please take no shit.